This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now we bring to you on the D&M Leasing Hotline, Steelers beat reporter from DK Pittsburgh Sports. It is Chris Halleck. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for jumping on with us. Now, we have talked a whole lot around these parts just about the devastating injuries that have hit the Cowboys' defensive line, but I'm hoping you could break it down for everyone listening. Pittsburgh has been in a really tough spot when it comes to offensive line injuries, have they not?
Yeah, absolutely. Their first-round pick from this year, Troy Fautanu, out for the year with a knee injury. They just lost James Daniels, their starting right guard, who was, you know, for those who take stock in Pro Football Focus grades, was their top-ranked guard. Before he got injured, that's a big loss. Isaac Seumalo has been out there starting left guard, probably their best offensive lineman, former Philadelphia Eagle. I'm sure Cowboys fans remember him. Yep. He's been out. He should be returning. He's on track to play. Mike Tomlin seems very optimistic that he'll return this week, but still they have been. And then Nate Herbig, their original starting center, is also out for the year. So three guys out for the year. It's been devastating for them on the offensive line.
So there's the old saying, the irresistible force against the immovable object. Do you think this game will be the opposite of that with the Steelers offensive line and Cowboys defensive line?
It just might be. The Steelers are, they will run the football at just sheer will. They're not very efficient. As a matter of fact, they're probably one of the most inefficient running games in the league right now. But that's not going to stop them from trying. They will definitely try to test this Cowboys front, especially it sounds like obviously Micah Parsons and Tank are both out. So they're definitely going to try. It's just the way the Steelers operate, especially with Arthur Smith as offensive coordinator.
Have you seen anything besides, like, I understand the offensive line plays a huge part in this, but have you seen anything else with Najee Harris that has led you to think that why he's just not been effective so far?
I do think the offensive line plays a role, but I think the one thing with Najee Harris, so the Steelers didn't pick up his fifth year option. And the main reason was because they're skeptical of the scheme fit. Now, Arthur Smith runs a wide zone scheme. That's not really Najee Harris's forte. He's a better downhill runner. He's one of the most efficient running backs this season in running inside zone instead of running the wide zone or outside zone stuff. So I'm curious to see if the Steelers will try to tailor their scheme around Najee, or if they're just going to be stubborn and be like, listen, Najee, you got to run the scheme that we're going to run here. And is it just going to be one of those things where it just doesn't work out and they just move on at the end of the season? But for right now, they've got to figure it out, because if they're going to be the offense that they want to be, they have to run the football. And right now, Jalen Warren doesn't look like he's going to play. I mean, I'm skeptical about him. Cordarrelle Patterson, skeptical about him playing. So Najee's pretty much all they got right now, so they got to figure it out.
And then when you guys trade for Davante Adams, he probably won't be ready for this game, right?
The Steelers are definitely going to try to get him. That's for sure. I don't know. I think that just sounds like he's going to go to the Jets, but even if the Steelers were to trade for Davante Adams, yeah, he's not playing in this game.
How is it in Pittsburgh as Fields has gone 3-1? Russell Wilson was supposed to be the starter. How are you guys feeling about the situation?
I really think that Justin has done everything he can possibly do to not relinquish being QB1. Mike Tomlin might not have officially named him QB1, no matter what is going on with Russ's calf or not. But listen, I mean, Justin Fields is showing very little signs of the guy that he was in Chicago. There was the one "what the heck are you doing" type of a play last week against the Colts where he lost like 20 yards on the sack fumble. But outside of that, he's completing more than 70% of his passes. His yards per attempt are at a career high. He's turned the ball over twice in four games as opposed to 41 times in three seasons with the Bears. He's just playing a different brand of football that he didn't show in Chicago. And credit Mike Tomlin, credit Arthur Smith. And if they keep winning, and shoot, man, the Steelers, I think, are 10th in drop back EPA right now. Like, why would you go away from a guy who's playing clearly like pretty good football from the quarterback position? Not an all-pro, not a Pro Bowl guy, but definitely enough to get this offense moving and actually give them a chance to win when they fell down 17-0 last week.
When you talk about the offense moving, what can you tell us about Calvin Austin? Because you look at the Chargers game and you're like, holy crap, here we go. But then you look at the rest of the season and you're like, I mean, he'll be out there and might catch a pass.
Yeah, Calvin Austin, like, he along with Van Jefferson and the other receivers, they're not getting open nearly enough. Now, whether you want to blame Arthur Smith for that, not scheming those guys open, maybe all of their efforts are going to scheming George Pickens open because, well, I mean, he's the Steelers' version of CeeDee Lamb. He's the guy. They're going to try to get him the football more than any other receiver because he's the most dangerous guy. So, with Calvin Austin, like, he can be a guy that can definitely, you know, rattle off some plays like he did against the Chargers, but I'm not seeing him open nearly enough. Again, I don't know if that's more on the receiver, on the coordinator, but just the other receivers in general aren't getting open enough in order to make some significant plays. Otherwise, I think the Steelers will be throwing the football a lot more often than they are.
So a lot of Cowboy fans are upset about this season, aren't optimistic about this season. The Cowboys going to Pittsburgh. What are you guys thinking about the Cowboys and the opponent you're playing?
Well, I think that there are several people here that are just excited about the spectacle of Steelers versus Cowboys, yeah. First off.
Yeah.
It's a great rivalry. I understand that people like myself, I'm 37, the 70s were before my time. But still, you go back through the history of the game. These are, you know, in the Super Bowl era, these are the two most winningest franchises in terms of regular season wins. And so it's an exciting game. I think they're just excited for it. But when it comes to the Steelers and their fans, they just want to see a W. They just want to see wins. And they see the Cowboys, especially with two of their big-time players on defense out, they're seeing this as, you know, there's blood in the water. You need to go attack and try to, you know, attack this defense, put some points up, and hopefully the defense rebounds and try to get a win. So I think right now this team hasn't won a playoff game since the 2016 season. They just want to win games and get into the playoffs and actually win some games in January.
Does Pittsburgh fans like ugly football, the grinded out style? Obviously here in Dallas, we like the finesse style.
Yeah.
Whether some people don't, for the most part, you look at the Cowboys history versus Steelers history, it's finesse versus grinded out kind of power football. Is that like, if you guys ever got a quarterback who could throw the ball for 5,000 yards, you'd be like, this is sickening. Can't we run it 17 more times?
I don't think Steelers fans were complaining very much when Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown were shredding defenses in the middle of last decade. If it helps put points up on the board and puts notches in the win column, they'll absolutely take it because Ben and AB were obviously one of the all-time great connections. And so if it means, you know, throwing the ball for 5,000 yards, then they'll do it. If it means running the ball for, you know, shoot, Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren were, you know, they each got 1,000 yards from scrimmage last year, one of only two teams to do that. So if they do it that way, they don't care. They just want to win. But, yeah, I mean, I think you get a lot of people here. They're just like, yeah, we want to beat people up. And, you know, whether that's through running the football, as you can remember with, like, Jerome Bettis back in the day. But they just, honestly, the Steelers fans just want to see wins, especially in the playoffs.
Talking with Chris Halleck right here on 105.3 The Fan. Got all of the things we need to know about the Pittsburgh Steelers. You made reference to the defense, and the Colts game does seem like an outlier, but it was the last game we saw. What happened particularly with the third down defense that went from stingiest in the league to getting kind of blown up against the Colts?
Yeah, so the Steelers four-man, the Steelers have not been a team. You might, like, remember the defenses, the Blitzburg defenses from the 90s,
right,
and the 2000s. That's not what they're doing right now. They're not blitzing the quarterback a whole bunch. Their blitz rate's near the bottom of the league. But it's because they've been able to get home with the four men up front, T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward, Alex Highsmith, those guys. And if those guys can get home and you can drop back seven in coverage, then by all means, do that. But that didn't happen last week. They didn't get to the quarterback, even with Joe Flacco back there, who can't move anymore. And Shane Steichen knows how to attack a cover three defense, and he exploited it quite a bit. He knows where the bones are buried there, and he absolutely exploited it, and it was definitely devastating for this defense. They definitely adjusted mid-game, went to more man coverage, and when they did that, the Colts stopped, you know, shoving the ball down their throat. But that
nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier, and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo, if you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join M-I-D-I. mindfultherapygroup.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
You know, then the Colts readjusted, ended up getting some points that kind of put the game out of reach for them late. So I expect them to make some adjustments, but they definitely put out some tape there that other teams are going to see and try to exploit. That's for sure.
Part of that tape is Joey Porter getting picked on, is it not?
Yeah, that was not a good game for Joey Porter Jr. And now I know how competitive this kid is. The apple does not fall far from the tree. For those who remember his dad playing for the Steelers and even Dolphins back in the day, he's going to want to be the guy that follows CeeDee Lamb around. Whether how often that happens, I don't know, but that's not going to, one bad game is not going to deter him from wanting to go out there and try to be the shutdown corner that he thinks he is. And I expect him to try to bounce back for sure. But yeah, it was definitely a bad game for him, possibly his worst as a pro.
I'm going to throw you off your game a little bit here. Paul Skeens.
All right.
Is he like, how crazy is the city of Pittsburgh over Paul Skeens?
Pretty crazy. As a matter of fact, they're so crazy that they are very, very mad at Ben Cherington and Derek Shelton and the management of for not improving on 76 wins from last year, because they won 76 games again. And that's even with having Paul Skeens literally gifted to you by the baseball gods, and you didn't improve. Like, how do you not do that? This guy is a generational pitcher. He's insane. I got to cover three games, ironically, down there in Texas. I got to cover three games when the Pirates were in town in Arlington. Skeens didn't pitch in that series, but just being around that team, it's exciting, you know, even for the three games. They're so excited. The fans are excited for him, but I think, again, that angst is going toward management for why the heck is this team not better than it is.
Do you have a potential prediction for us on Sunday night? Besides, Mr. T would say the prediction is pain. Besides that, do you have a game prediction for us?
I do think the Steelers bounce back in this. Mike Tomlin teams typically bounce back from bad losses. They typically don't lose a lot of bad games in a row, or even lose a lot of games in a row in general. That's kind of an MO. Now, obviously, he's lost multiple games before, but I do think the Steelers bounce back in this. I think that if there's ever a game in which this running game is going to get going, it's going to be against this Cowboys defense. They're banged up. Not having Micah Parsons in there is obviously a big loss. It's the same thing as if the Steelers were without T.J. Watt. That's a huge loss on the defense. I do think that if the Steelers can control the clock, which is what they did really, really well in their first three games, then they can tire out the Cowboys defense, even if it's not right away. By the time the third and fourth quarter roll around, that it can get pretty ugly. That's what they did to the Chargers. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it'll probably be a one-score game. That's kind of an easy prediction for a Mike Tomlin coach team.
Right.
I'll say the Steelers win this thing like 23-20.
Okay. Excellent insight, Chris. Appreciate the time very much, good sir.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. There you go. Chris Halleck right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Do you think people that come on a Dallas Cowboys station think we're going to, like, rag on them?
Because he did sound nervous to say. He was like, well, I hate to say this, but... I mean
that we are maybe going to try to pick a fight.
Whoa,
with him.
What are you talking about? That maybe that is what he's used to up there. Because if you said that about the Eagles, maybe they would crush him. I wanted to throw this out there real quick. Did you see some of the NCAA events that just got awarded to the DFW? Now, some of them
will
care about probably more than the rest. The Division I Women's Golf Regional is going to be at Trinity Forest Golf Club in Southern Dallas in 2027. And the Women's Gymnastics National Finals will be at Dickies Arena in Fort Worth. You just saw gymnastics have their national championship in the Metroplex a little bit ago. And then the NCAA has awarded Dickies Arena for the men's basketball tournament for the first and second round.
Oh, sweet. Last time they had it, my kids went, and both games were blowouts.
Okay.
They did like it, but it was Baylor and North. They didn't play each other. Baylor and North Carolina, I think, were main matchups, but like they were both blowout games.
And then in 2028, men's basketball NCAA regional will be held at the American Airlines Center. So in back-to-back years, you get an opportunity to see first and second round games in Fort Worth, and then regional final in at the AAC in 2027 and 2028. That's pretty cool.
Yes, and that was one of my most favorite sporting events to ever go to. Texas Tech beat Florida in the second game, and Tennessee with Grant Williams lost to the one where Choppy hates the nun lady that went there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Chicago.
Yeah, Loyola.
Yeah. So those both of those games, getting to go to a doubleheader to go to the Sweet 16 was so much fun to go to.
Were the Canes, man, he really did. I know we got to go. He really did go after that lady. She's like 104, and he's like, I want to see that lady on my TV. It's basketball. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, because Choppy demands it. We will talk about basketball. The top questions heading into the NBA season, including a couple more about the Mavs, next right here on The Fan.
In the corner, three, Exum picked up Lively with the offensive rebound. Doncic thinking three. Now the road to Lively will slam it down up hard and down.
KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where, yes, somebody on the fan text reminded me Sister Free Ride is one of the things that came up about her. Choppy is an interesting cat, man. So let's talk a little basketball here.
I'm so excited about basketball.
Okay,
season.
I can tell. So I got some of the top questions for you heading into the NBA season, including a couple more about the Mavs. But let me ask you one more question. You got more in on the Stars, Mike, than you ever have in your life. They had a really good season.
Got to figure out that victory thing.
Yes. Are you carrying over some enthusiasm hockey-wise to get ready for the season? Last preseason games tonight.
Yes, but I haven't thought about it.
Okay.
But yes, I think that they have a very good young team. You know, I know that I don't keep up with it enough, but I know that their core players are under contract. There's a worry, concern that over the next year or two, they could lose some core guys because of the salaries that they'll demand. But yeah, I'm excited about a young team for the Stars that I think will make the playoffs pretty easily. I think that was the concern for, it feels like, the last 20 years.
Sure.
It's like, dude, every year you make it, then the next year you fall so far back, you have to fire your coach. So it sounds like there's more stability. They should be a playoff contender. So, yes, I am excited, in a way, being a very casual hockey fan for their season.
Now, a couple of one quick WNBA note. Caitlin Clark was a near unanimous winner for...
Did Cheryl Swoops have a vote?
Rookie of the Year. I don't... It might have been. Angel Reese got one vote for some reason, and Caitlin Clark got 66 of the other 67 votes to win Rookie of the Year.
Swoops. I'm going to tell you, I bet Cheryl Swoops who voted no.
I don't know. I'll look and see if that person has revealed why they voted that way. Now, going into the NBA, what I'm curious about to start, which star player has the most to prove this season? Because the hypothetical that you threw out earlier, I kind of wonder if Giannis and Luka are pretty high up on that list. I realize Giannis has a title. I get that. Yeah. But I still think he's high up on this list.
Yeah, I think, honestly, those two guys, here's what I wonder, and you tell me.
I got one that's ahead of both of them.
He's a year older than Luka. Does Shai have a lot to prove because they're somewhat predicted to win the Western Conference?
I could see that. That's it. You know, that's an interesting point, because the person I'm going to pick,
it's the first time he's ever had high
expectations.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you balance that versus the person I was going to throw out is Joel Embiid? Nobody is saying they're going to win the East, but he feels like one of the better players we've seen, like, in this generation, that just has had no real playoff success. So how do you balance those two out?
I'm with you, because Embiid, there's a 90% chance he's not going to be healthy come playoff time. that he's going to play. Oh, I was hurt. And then we're, man, what if he was healthy? What could they do? Well, he's never healthy. So deal with it. But, yeah, if they lose in the second round, let's say to Boston or New York, I think that you start going, look, he's a second guy. Great guy to have. But he needs, and people can argue this, he needs a Luka. Luka in his career in 6 years has made the NBA Finals and the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
And he was literally on the third worst team. They didn't try to be the third worst. They were the third worst team. They're tied for it. And lost the kind of lottery situation. But he went to a horrible team and turned that team around. And I know that so did Joel Embiid, but he seems to struggle to stay healthy. And because of his struggle to stay healthy, it's always an excuse for him why he doesn't play well in the playoffs.
Which new coach has to make the biggest impact quickly, and why is it J.J. Redick?
It's interesting as you're saying it, because I'm going to be honest, I don't know all the coaches in the league anymore.
Okay. Yeah.
But I would say it is JJ Redick, because he's going to have to deal with literally daddy ball. Is that daddy is going to want son to play.
Mm-hmm.
Not only be on the team, but to get minutes. And JJ Redick was hand selected by LeBron.
I could see that.
They tried to get the UConn coach, Hurley's brother. Yep. Bobby Hurley's brother. I wonder how many people are like, who the crap's Bobby Hurley? Only people know Dan. Well, Bobby was like a great point guard. And
he was.
Then he got in a car wreck and ended his career pretty quickly.
He did.
But I would say that, yes, it's J.J. Redick, because he's coaching the Lakers. He's never coached, as far as I know, a day in his life when it comes to professional. What did he coach his daughter's basketball team or something? That's like his coaching experience.
Yeah.
I get he is a very smart former basketball player who probably understands the game well enough to somewhat do the job. I'm confident with Jason Kidd now, but Jason Kidd was horrible his first two stops as a head coach. It takes time to go from being a player leader to then going to the coach who has to lead the team without ever playing and suiting up. I think he has a tough responsibility, because we all know LeBron, one of the greatest players of all time, but we know the baggage LeBron brings. He hates coaches. And now
you feel that way about Giannis? I'm just asking, because Giannis has started to run into a big reputation like that. I'm not disputing your point on LeBron, but do you feel that way about Giannis?
A little bit.
Okay.
Obviously firing Adrian Griffin last year was weird. And then Doc Rivers, who I don't think we have the highest hopes for him turning around situations.
Nope.
So yeah, I'm not a big fan of the way LeBron treats coaches. And I think that JJ is going to run into a situation. He's going to get about 25 games into this season and go, oh, I'm not really the head coach, am I?
Yeah. Yeah, I
and then it sets you up for failure. Obviously, the Mavericks just got Frank Vogel. The dude won the COVID championship, but then it was like, hey, he didn't do it. I did it. I'm the coach. I should have got more respect. I should have been MVP of the regular season and this COVID championship. And he did get the COVID championship MVP. But I do think it's very difficult. It's really weird coaching LeBron, because coaching Jordan, I'm sure, was not easy. But, man, when he found Phil Jackson, he was cool with it. And I think it's because he was coached hard by Dean Smith in college, so he understood hard coaching.
So let me ask you about two more players that have, like, maybe the most approved, because these two have come up a couple of times. Anthony Edwards, and then what about Dame Lillard? Because we talked about, I guess I could have just said Dame. I know we talked about Giannis, but at least he does have the championship to his name. What about those two?
Yeah, I'm with you. Now, those are the secondary players on their team. You could argue at this point, LeBron being 40, Anthony Davis has to take over.
Anthony Edwards.
Anthony Edwards. I'm sorry. You did say Anthony Edwards.
I was like, he is not the secondary team player on that team.
Anthony Edwards.
And Dame.
Yes, and I think Anthony Edwards is going to destroy their win total. It's 42.5.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be close to 50.
Okay.
I think in a way, getting rid of Karl Anthony Towns, very good offensive weapon and overall good player. Julius Randle below Karl Anthony Towns. I do like him as a player, but below Karl Anthony Towns.
You see what Julius Randle just said?
No.
He goes, I mean, it's just great to be in a place where I'm wanted. So
remember how much booing he was getting in New York, right? He had fallen out of favor with the fans, and he did some things to accentuate that.
Sure.
It's tough playing in New York. Cat, I don't know if he's built for New York, but Anthony Edwards, I do think there's a lot of pressure on him. I do think he'll rise to the occasion, and now the ball will be in his hands more. I'll say this. I expect him to lead the NBA in scoring this year.
Okay. Okay. I like that. Which team in the West has the toughest path to the conference finals? Now, I realize you'll be like, well, it could depend what the playoffs look like. Right. But I mean, outside of that, like just looking at it now, is it the Denver Nuggets? Or do you go back to Minnesota now that they made that trade?
Well, I would say the toughest path is Phoenix, because Phoenix, when they traded for Bradley Beal, we thought, oh, they just don't have depth. So you have...
That's true.
Kevin Durant has, you know, I hate saying this, but it feels like fake titles for him because he joined a 73 win team. And he did win. And without him, they wouldn't have won. But... it just feels like him and Devin Booker, the cockiness that they display and yet the lack of success together. And I get at first it was Booker with CP and Ayton, and it got destroyed by the Dallas Mavericks.
Yep.
And now you have, oh, well, now I got Kevin Durant and now I got Bradley Beal. And I feel like the toughest path is for them, because when you have Durant and Booker, you're expected to be in the Western Conference Finals or the NBA Finals or win it. That's what the thing was when Kevin Durant joined the Phoenix Suns. And they haven't even gotten close.
Yeah. The reason why I say the Nuggets is because they've gone through the same life cycle as so many championship teams, where you get a little picked off your team. And then the next year you get a little bit more picked off your team. And I mean, they struggled in the playoffs last year. Maybe they'll get that hunger back or whatever, because they talked about we won the title. I don't know.
I can see, though, being led by Jokic and still having enough around him, if healthy, that they could do it again.
Yeah.
I can't see Phoenix doing it. I can't see them going through Oak City, Dallas, Denver. In fact, I think those will be the top three seeds. I really hope so, because that would mean Dallas, for the first time probably in Luka's career, took the regular season very seriously.
That would be awesome.
That does scare me that Luka doesn't take these 82 as seriously as he should, but we'll see. It's a new season coming up here soon, but I think Phoenix having to go through those teams, and then you start including Minnesota. I think the Clippers are kind of now pushed to the side, but we'll see how quick a team like San Antonio can start becoming a somewhat contending team.
And then to go along with that, I have a Mavericks-specific question. Who is going to emerge as the defensive anchor for this team? Because with some of the trades they made and everything, it feels like you have multiple options. Where are you going with this? Does it automatically go to Lively?
Yeah, or? I think it's an easy question.
Okay.
But if you ask me perimeter defender, I think it becomes a difficult question.
Okay, where do you go with that then?
I'm going to lean towards, from what I've heard, and this will be, Bally's obviously isn't covering Mavericks anymore. The people that cover the Mavericks, or sorry, the Rangers and the NBA or slash the Mavericks, they really think Najee Harris is going to be their guy. That's going to be their perimeter defender. But I do think Derek Lively has a lot of leadership quality traits, plus the athleticism and gifts to be a defensive player of the year candidate in his career. So to me, defensive player of the year candidate can be Derek Lively in his career at some point. But perimeter defense, obviously, that has to be somebody else.
Okay. I would be inclined to agree with all of that. By the way, this just as an aside, I thought this felt low. What kind of grade would you give the Mavericks for the offseason?
I'll give it an A-, and the only reason I won't go to A or A-plus is I think they did want Derek Jones Jr. I think we're going to somewhat easily forget about him.
Okay.
Because I think that Najee Marshall and Quentin Grimes are going to fill out that role well, but with the limited resources they had, they got Klay Thompson, Najee Harris, Quentin Grimes.
Yep.
They added to that team. They ended up getting Spencer Dinwiddie as kind of, I don't know, is he their ninth man? Is he their 14th man? I don't know. They got rid of jump passer Josh Green, who drives me insane.
That they did. No THJ. Yeah. So CBS Sports gave them a B. I was thinking it's
a
not,
B.
Yeah, it's not okay. too far off, but I was thinking at least a B plus, maybe an A minus. So it's good.
I would love for them to go, how could they have gotten an A?
Okay. Yeah, that would actually be really fun. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here. By the way, he meant Najee Marshall on 105.3 The Fan.
I say Harris.
Yes.
Sorry.
The pitch. He struck him out. And the Kansas City Royals move on to the division series.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing. It is time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Terrific, Hagee. How are you guys?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you for asking. Now, I know usually the first thing Broadus says when he walks in here is, we got any day baseball today?
We don't.
And I know y'all have had some day baseball.
Love
how,
it.
How locked into the playoffs have y'all been, especially since clearly the Rangers are not involved?
Mostly just locked into rooting against the Astros. So very locked in the last 2 days.
You know they've lost 7 straight home playoff games?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I've really enjoyed about day baseball is, especially with that Tiger series, Dawson does some awesome play-by-play when he hates the Astros.
Oh.
He will do some. You would think Ernie Harwell is calling the games for the Tigers.
Did you guys hear Michael Kay's call that he's getting roasted for?
Okay, I saw he was trending on Twitter yesterday, but I didn't actually like go down the rabbit hole. What did he do?
So it was just he butchered Andy. He didn't know it was Andy Ibañez. He butchers the name. Did you hear it, Mike? Like it just wasn't.
We have it.
Cut one.
Lying down the left field line. It is.
Yes, I did.
Scores. Two run score. Everybody scores. It's a bases clearing. Big pinch hit for Ibañez. And it is now 5-2 Detroit.
So the reason why I didn't mock him too much is I also had a live spot where I was encouraging everyone to come to Buffalo Wild Wings and Keller tomorrow. And then I finished my commercial.
Oh, you said Carol.
By saying Carol.
I heard that.
And then I think Alex, like, that's the end of the commercial, as he should. He's not sitting there going, well, surely this Nimrod won't say the wrong word at the end of it. And so I said the wrong word, and I was like, well, I guess I can't really crush him for that. Mm. We're in Keller tomorrow, not Carol.
Mm. No, I think yours is a little bit more forgivable, personally.
Okay.
You know, you're going to have the opportunity to make it up. This is the Tigers' biggest moment in what, 15 years? So this is one where I think Michael Kay, who definitely will clap back at anybody who says anything to him, he deserves it, I think.
That makes you more vulnerable, right? If somebody knows, like, you're an S-talker.
Yeah.
If you make a mistake, they're just kind of waiting.
Absolutely, yes.
Around, right?
Yeah, they can't wait to jump on you. Like, is he just sort of short-circuiting in that moment there?
Yeah.
Like, he can't get it. He can't get it out. Or do you think he was genuinely confused on who it was?
I think Dawson's call was better. I think, Dawson, you made the call. You go, one run in, two runs in. I mean, way
well, I think I did have to stop in the middle of it and ask how many have scored.
Yeah.
Because the camera
was
just showing
smooth.
The
edge.
But you did give it the one run in, two runs in, and you were trying to get that third guy home is what you were trying to do.
It was beautiful.
And Michael Kay says everybody scores, but Andy Ibañez didn't score. But he did clear the bases.
Man, somebody's hating on Michael Kay over
just
there.
Just not good. Just not a good call.
I will say this. When
just
we went
be better,
to
Michael.
LA.
Bad
be better.
Person over there? Bad?
I think play-by-play guys are held to a high standard.
No,
much higher, you know?
When we went to LA
you don't
to play
Michael
Angels,
at all?
Yeah.
And I looked at their lineup on day one, I was like, taking out cuss words, who are these people? They had a total of, in their starting lineup, with 3 games left in the season, they had a total of 45 home runs and 179 RBIs.
Wow.
That's almost as good as Aaron Judge's season.
Jeez.
I'm sorry, Michael. We were talking. Who did you say? Who you're talking about? What team?
The Angels.
The Angels. That last series when I got the lineup on Friday and I started looking, I'm like, who are these people?
Yeah. And so, then you remembered you were.
Yeah, but this is a playoff.
You remembered you were in Los Angeles area and it was sunny and you were enjoying baseball.
But I would feel like if I was doing a playoff game, I would want to study.
Yeah, you need to be locked in
heavily. But I do think there is a little bit of cockiness, arrogance.
Arrogance.
Yeah,
yes.
Arrogance.
Sorry, I couldn't say the word.
No, well said.
I know. With being a New York Yankee guy.
Absolutely.
Get a life, you jerk.
So why was he doing another team's game?
I was wondering.
It's ESPN. National TV. Oh, so wow. They hire. They don't have enough people really to do. Mm. Remember, ESPN hates baseball. It's really weird. Mm-hmm. They carry baseball, but they hate it.
Yeah.
So they were like, I forgot his name. John Shombi, is that his name? He's Boog. The Chicago Cubs guy, and he's having to do a series.
He was doing it with the old guy who was with the Rangers, Gary Matthews. Is it not Gary?
No.
Who was it?
Gary Anderson.
We interviewed the guy.
Doug Glanville.
Doug Glanville. I knew it was somebody like that, yeah.
Which one of these teams?
Somebody we interviewed.
Yeah, Gary Anderson.
Very memorable.
Great kicker. Salmon.
I've had enough of you already.
Oh my God. That's your tease right there.
I hear you guys throwing each other under the bus when I'm listening to you.
He's one of the worst human beings I've ever worked
with. Oh my God.
I'm just trying to get to number one. He won't give me the credit for being number one. He's like one of the. Yeah, so until I get to that.
Gary Patterson.
Like you got a Patterson rocket strapped to your back.
Kevin, did you hear him talking about the movie show yesterday?
Yeah.
That was what was getting them guys going.
Yeah. The movie show.
Brian's toxicity, you know.
Oh no!
It's really sort of taken over. It's a tone setter at this point.
I'm going to write a book about this show.
Brought us called a movie a show, and I heard it, but I was like, old man mistake. He's not even a movie guy, really. He's a film junkie, not a movie guy. So we know that about him. He hasn't seen Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
But Walchuk, he is kind of a highfalutin movie theater goer. So when you call a movie a show, you're going to draw him offside.
Just wanted to make sure that there wasn't like a Godfather show that maybe I didn't know about, because they did have The Offer. Which was about the making of The Godfather. Maybe you saw that show.
Did not.
Hey, I would strongly.
He knows damn good and well I didn't see it. But he asked that question.
I know.
Say I did it.
I know that you
probably didn't see the show, you idiot.
I would strongly recommend, since you love The Godfather.
I do love The Godfather.
I would strongly recommend The Offer.
It's really good, right?
It is unbelievable.
It's the story of the making of The Godfather.
Yes,
because
it's crazy.
The real mafia was shutting it down and going to kill the people that were trying to make this. Literally kill the people. So they had to go to Gotti?
Yeah.
Who did they have to go to? It was the guy who used to run the unions.
Didn't you watch the show?
Gary, yeah, but it's been like 2 years. I think it was Gotti.
The guy who was running unions.
Oh.
And he was like, I'm going to kill you for doing this.
Mm.
And then he had to go through them, and he hired mafia people to be security.
Not the guy that's buried at the Meadowlands.
Hoffa?
Is it Hoffa?
Yeah, Jimmy Hoffa. Jimmy Hoffa was a major part.
Why'd I have to come up with that, Zach?
Because I wasn't paying attention. But I know Sinatra also was like super against this. They felt like there was a part that was written for Sinatra. He didn't like the way it was depicted, and he didn't want to be affiliated, even though he was, with the mafia.
Oh, the performer. Yeah, the guy. Yeah, the
Vegas. You know Frank Sinatra's?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I was born the same day as him, by the way.
That's true. You share
him
a birthday.
Him and Bob Barker.
Same year, too?
Always comes back to like Ryan.
1907.
Yeah.
You were born in 1907?
Look great, don't I?
You do.
Yeah. Right there.
Congratulations.
So, have you guys noticed his eyebrows not being on his face, or have you guys not even noticed at all? That's true.
I was at the Flagtober spot where it happened.
Okay, yeah,
or not
yeah.
where it happened, but where people started asking about it. And so I hadn't turned around and looked, and I go, oh, didn't that happen? Like, and I turn around. Oh,
it was Joe Colombo.
There you go.
Joe Colombo was the mafia.
He was leading the charge.
Yep.
Mark's
it's a
uncle.
Great show. I'll take a peek at it.
Yeah.
Apparently, Sinatra got it started. His dislike for the character Johnny Fontaine.
Johnny Fontaine was
based on him.
Yeah, the Vegas.
And he got
Vegas
the hornet's
performer.
Nest stirred up.
Yeah. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Wow. So I was going to ask which baseball team has the most pressure to win the World Series, but now after this contentious
Orioles.
Crosstalk, which member of the show is under the most pressure to have a good show as to not infuriate the rest of the team?
Probably Broadus. Really? I mean, Broadus came in clutch because he hooked it up with the Whataburger today, so he's playing with a bit of a lead right now.
Dawson can piss everybody off at a moment's notice.
Yeah, I can. But I feel like Brian's most responsible for hijacking a segment. So, you know, if you're going to shoot with that much volume, I feel like the pressure for you to be good at it is higher.
Do you have a topic that you feel like is in jeopardy of this happening?
What time is that segment?
I can't tell you. It's a mail it in Thursday, actually.
Okay.
So we don't have any topics prepared.
I'm just wondering, is it a Cowboys topic that usually you guys get mad about, or is it?
Oh,
no.
Yes.
Well, Eric will just make something up. That's what usually gets us.
Brian trying to cape for Jerry Jones usually is what gets me sideways with him.
That was true. Yeah. I felt he is a good GM. Dawson was going after my old guy.
I just
couldn't stand there and let it happen anymore.
I know one thing. Jerry's always chasing talent.
That's right. 365.
24/7.
That guy does not stop.
Sometimes it causes a car wreck.
Yeah, I actually, the way you phrase that, I 100% agree with that. What else do you guys have coming up on the show? Sounds like it's going to be great.
Pure gold as always. Thanks for asking. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Eric Kendricks at 5 o'clock. Cowboys Players Show.
Ask for the show sheet every day.
Roll home with the definitely potentially combustible G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow. Remember, we'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings in Keller. 10-2 right here on the Fan.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Goodnight, Kevin.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.